Bless God. Father, bless your word to us this morning. Speak to us through the living word of God, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, we are concluding our ministry on the Psalms. We've had a summer in the Psalms, where from July through August, we have been looking at the book of Psalms. I trust you've been blessed, encouraged, refreshed, as the Lord has led us by those still waters and those green pastures that he's led us into. I've been really blessed through this ministry. So this morning is the conclusion of that ministry on the book of Psalms. And the message that the Lord's laid upon my heart to share with you this morning is from the longest psalm in the Bible. Put your hand up if you know what the longest psalm in the Bible is. I see those hands. What is the longest psalm in the Bible? 119. Does anybody know how many verses, without looking, how many verses there are in Psalm 119? 176. 176 verses. And really, what is unique about this psalm is that every verse mentions or alludes to the importance of the Word of God. Every verse. No wonder the title in my Bible says, Meditations on the Excellence of the Word of God. You know, Psalm 119, there is a wealth of material for any preacher to take any of the verses and to preach on it. It's a great, great psalm about the importance of the Word of God. But the two verses that I want to share with you this morning from that psalm are Psalm 40, verse 49 and verse 50. And I've entitled what I want to share with you this morning, The Living Word That Brings Hope and Comfort. The Living Word That Brings Hope and Comfort. Psalm 119, we got it up there? Psalm 119, verse 49 to 50. It says this, Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Is it on there? Can we read it together? Can you put it on again, Darren? Let's read it together. All out aloud. Amen. Let's just leave that on there so it's before you. Thank God, friends, this word is a living word. Do you believe that? Paul, writing to the Hebrews, says, The word of God is quick. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. This is a living word. And this word, friends, has been given to us, the children of God, to feed our souls. Man will not live by, but by every word that comes from. We know every word God has spoken, friends, and the words that God has spoken are contained in this book. Outside of this book, don't take anything that God has said. This is the living word of God. God speaks through his word. It's powerful. It's alive. And it's only the word of God that we can build our lives upon. It's the only firm foundation that we have to build our lives upon. Anything outside of this word, if we are building our lives upon anything outside of the word of God, let me tell you, friends, it's very shaky ground. Jesus told a parable about two men. One man built his house upon a rock. The other man built his house upon sand. And Jesus likened the man who built his house upon the rock as a man who heard the word of God and applied it. He did something about it. The man who built his house upon the sand heard the word, knew what the word said, but he didn't do anything about it. James says, do not be forgetful hearers of the word of God, but be doers of what God says. Because the man who does what God says will be blessed. Don't be like a man who looks in the mirror, beholds his face, and then he goes away and forgets what type of man he is. Friends, the word is God's mirror to our lives. And we've got to apply the word of God. Because let me tell you, storms are coming. And if we are not building our lives upon God's word, let me tell you what the storm will do. It will take you away. It will destroy you. And great will be the fall of it. And so the importance of God's word that we build our lives upon cannot be overemphasized. When I was a new Christian, someone wrote in my Bible, I think it was Vernon Kincaid, an evangelist from Bishop Auckland. He wrote in the flyleaf of my Bible, this book will keep you from sin. Or sin will keep you from this book. Let me tell you, friends, I have found that to be so true. So true. If you've got no appetite for the word of God, let me tell you, sin is at the door. When we are missing the mark, when we are falling away from God, we don't read the word. The word of God says, let me hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Friends, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you away from this book. I pray for every one of us that's the former, that every one of us will hide the word of God in our hearts, so that we don't sin against the Lord. God's word is full of what Peter describes, exceeding great and precious promises, whereby are given to us, Peter says, exceedingly great and precious promises. Notice it says, whereby are given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. You know, friends, every promise contained in the Word of God is given for you and for me. They are given to us. We used to sing a song years ago, more years than I tend to remember. Some of the oldies here will remember it. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All the blessings of his love divine, every promise in the book is mine. It is. The word of God says that the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen to those who believe. So every promise contained in the word of God is yours. It's mine. There are thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people, who down through the years have tried to count the promises of God. In the Time magazine of December the 4th, 1956, a school teacher and biblical scholar by the name of Everett R. Storms, who lived in Kitchener, Canada, he was reading through the scriptures for the 27th time. He was an eminent Bible scholar, and he was a school teacher. And for the 27th time, he was reading through the scriptures. And for 1.5 years, he did an exercise as he was reading through the Word of God, that he would put down every promise that the Bible mentioned. After a year and a half, he came to the conclusion that there was something altogether, all the promises, 8,810 promises in the scriptures. And he broke those down. And he said 7,487 promises were made by God to man. Two, by God the Father to God the Son. 991 promises made by one man to another man. 290 promises made by man to God. 21 promises that angels made. One made by man to an angel. Two promises by evil spirits to the Lord. Satan himself made 9 promises. One of them was given to Jesus, remember, in the wilderness? All the kingdoms of this world I will give you if you will only fall down and worship me. There were another 8 apart from that that Satan made. So a grand total of 8,810 promises. Now, I think it's staggering, friends, that 7,487 promises were made by God to man. These exceeding great and precious promises that God has given to us through Christ. Some promises are conditional. For instance, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then, if you do this, God says, then I will open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. There are some promises God made to us that are unconditional. For instance, he said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I am with you always. Hallelujah. That is a promise God will never break. He's not a man that he should lie. And so he is with us always. Peter says these promises are exceedingly great and precious. And we can live our lives embracing, friends, the promises of God's word. An old hymn used to say, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior, standing on the promises of God. You can stand on God's word, because I want to tell you, it will never let you down. It will never fail you. God's word contains literally thousands of promises. If we are to believe what Storm said, some 7,487 that are waiting for you and me to be claimed by faith. And how does faith come? It comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Faith in what God says will come to pass. I wonder how many of us this morning are living our lives in the sure and certain hope of what God has said will come to pass. Just like the title of our message this morning suggests, this is a living word that brings hope and comfort. Psalm 119, that long psalm that we're looking at this morning, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Notice the psalmist says, this word brings hope. This word causes us to hope. Hope is something that is not seen, but something that we look for in the future. And this word gives us hope in what God says will come to pass. Hope looks to the fulfillment and comfort in times of affliction. When we are waiting for the promise to be fulfilled, this word will bring us comfort at times like that. I wonder what word promise has the Lord given to you? What word has God given to you that's caused you to hope that God is going to do something in the future? A word that's caused you to hope. What word of promise are you believing God for that one day that word is going to materialize? Abraham received a word of promise from God that caused him to hope that one day what God said would be fulfilled. Can we look at it in Genesis 15, verses 1 to 6? Have we got it up there? Great stuff, Darren. After these things, notice the word of the Lord came. God's word. The word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abraham said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" Then Abraham said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. Behold, the word of the Lord, the word of promise came to him, saying, 'This one shall not be your heir, but one who will be come from your own body shall be your heir.' Then the Lord brought him outside and said, 'Look towards heaven. Count the stars if you're able to number them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.' And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness." Abraham received a promise, a word from God, that his offspring would be as many as the stars in the sky and as the sand upon the seashore. And God gave him that promise when he was childless. And the Bible says he believed what God said. He believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. The word of the Lord came to a young man by the name of Joseph. And that word brought great hope about what God was going to do in the future. Let's read it. Genesis 37. Verse 5. Joseph had a dream. He told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I've dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. And behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And indeed, your sheaf stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed still another dream, and he told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you've dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Joseph received a word of hope, a word of promise, that one day he would have preeminence in his household. David, he too received a word of promise, that one day he would be king. 1 Samuel 16. Have we got it up there? It'll save me looking at it. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite." Verse 13, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons. Verse 13, then Samuel There was can you remember the story how seven sons came and passed before Samuel and God rejected every one of them? And God said, don't look at the outward appearance as man looks. God looks at the heart. Then Samuel, he sent out in the field. He said, have you got any other sons? He said, well, I've got the youngest. He's out in the field looking after the sheep. He said, go and call him. And when David came in, Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose and went to Ramah. That day, a young shepherd boy had a word from God that the day would come that he would be king. Let's look at one more. Peter. He'd failed the Lord. He'd rejected him. He'd denied that he ever knew him. But God, the Lord, rose again from the dead. And the first thing he said, go and tell Peter. He said to the women, go and tell Peter I'm alive. And then he met them in that upper room on the first day of resurrection, the first day of when he rose from the dead. The doors were locked for fear of the Jews. And he told them to go into Galilee and they would meet him there. They went to Galilee and they went out fishing. Peter said, I'm going fishing. The other disciples said, we're coming with you. And that night they caught nothing. But as the dawn began to come, they saw a man on the seashore. And he asked the question, have you caught any fish? They said, none. He said, cast your nets on the right side. And they did. And the Bible says they enclosed a great number of fish. I think they counted 153. Someone said they were the nations of the earth at that time. I don't know. 153. A great number of fish. And John said, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. And the Bible says Peter, they used to fish naked. Peter dived into the sea and he swam to the beach. And there he met Jesus. And Jesus took him for a walk. And he said, do you love me, Peter? 3 times he asked that question. Do you love me more than these? Lord, you know that I love you. And John was following them as Jesus took him for a walk. And as Jesus took him for a walk, he restored him. But Jesus said something very poignant to him. Let's look at it. Can you put the scripture up there? Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, Peter, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands. Another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. Next verse. This Jesus said to show by what kind of death he was going to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. So Peter knew exactly how he was going to die. So all these men, and there are others, received a word of promise. A word that brought them hope of something that God was going to do in the future. Abraham, you're going to have a son in your old age. He's going to, your seed are going to be so many that you'll not be able to count them. David, you are going to be an anointed king. Joseph, you will rise to preeminence in your house. Peter, you will die as an old man. And this is how you're going to die. They received a word from God that brought hope. I wonder what word of promise have you received that has given you hope? Something that God has said to you, maybe years ago, maybe recently. Something that the word of God has lifted out and highlighted to you. That caused you to hope. It might be about an unsaved loved one. It might be about a sickness being healed. It might be about a change in circumstances. It might be a private personal word that God has given you alone. and it's caused you to hope. You know, friends, between receiving a promise from God through His Word and the fulfillment of what God has said, there is a season. And that season can be a week, it can be 52 weeks, it can be years before it ever comes to pass. Between the promise given and the fulfillment, there is a season. And during that season, there is every likelihood that some of the things that you will face will cause you to think it's never ever going to happen. Will cause you to think, however could what God has said come to pass? A time of trouble that comes to us all, a time of storms, times of affliction. It's this season between receiving the promise and the fulfillment of the promise that we need to hold on to what God has said and not let go. We need to hold fast to the promises that God has spoken, that they will come to pass. The Lord spoke to a young virgin from Nazareth by the name of Mary. And she believed what God said to her, impossible though it may have seemed. And the scripture declares in Luke, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were spoken to her. There shall be a performance. It will come to pass. Abraham received a word that brought him hope. You will have a son in your old age. Your seed will be so many that you'll not be able to count them. And of course, you know the story. The son was born, Isaac, which means laughter. And the Lord blessed Abraham and his household, would enter into his affliction. When one day the Lord said to him, take your son, your only son, Isaac, and take him to a mountain that I will show you. And there offer him up as a sacrifice to me. Enter into Abraham's affliction during those 3 days that they made that trek. Enter into Abraham's affliction when he nears the place and there is no voice from heaven. He's obeying what God asked him to do. He doesn't know the outcome. Friends, sometimes we think of Isaac as a young boy. At this time, Isaac was 30 years of age. 33 years of age, actually. Same age that Jesus was when he died upon the cross. What a figure this is, eh? Of what was to come. Enter into Abraham's affliction as a father to a son. This promise is in Isaac. In Isaac, your seed will be called. And now God says, kill him. Offer him up as a sacrifice. Enter into Abraham's affliction as he takes the knife. And he's about to plunge it into his son's heart. No voice from heaven. And suddenly the Lord speaks from heaven. Don't do him any harm. And he turns and he looks and there's a ram caught in a thicket. What was it, friends, that caused Abraham to believe God? He believed God. And God counted it to him for righteousness. What was it that God tested? The Bible says God tested Abraham. And you know, God will test you and he'll test me. Not with evil, because God doesn't test anyone with evil. But God will put us to the test. He wants to know what's in our hearts. He already does know, but he wants us to know. And God tested him. Do you know why Abraham did what he did and what he was prepared to go through with? Because according to Hebrews, Abraham believed that even though he would slay his son, God would raise him from the dead. He believed that. In other words, he believed a word that gave him hope. He believed in what God said would come to pass. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 11, verse 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall your seed be called. Listen to this. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He believed that even though he put the knife in him, God would raise him from the dead, because he believed what God said about Isaac. In Isaac, your seed will be called. What was it that brought comfort to him in his affliction? It was the word of God. It was a word of hope that God had given. Joseph received that word that one day he would have preeminence in his family. A promise from God. Before it came to pass, there was a season. Boy, it was a long season. Some 13 years before it was fulfilled. It might have been more than 13, but it was 13 years when things began to happen in Egypt. What a season of affliction it was for Joseph, sold into slavery by brothers who hated him, found in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife set her eyes upon him, and the Bible says he fled from her presence. He wasn't prepared to sin against God. Nobody will see, Joseph. There's just you and me here. He said, God sees. Let me tell you, friends, God sees. God sees in the dark. The hidden most secrets of our hearts, God sees. I'm not prepared to do this and sin against God. And he fled from a presence. He ended up in prison. And the story, for 13 years, the story's there in Genesis. Psalm 105 gives a plotted history of the nation of Israel's history from the time of Abraham. Listen to what it says in verse 16. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons, listen to this, until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions. Friends, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tested him. I found this, friends, that God suddenly can bring you the fulfillment of your promise. I really believe that. I believe in God's suddenlies. Joseph went to sleep or woke up that morning in a dungeon. That night he went to bed in a palace. And God's word, until the time the word of the Lord came, God's word tested. What was it that kept Joseph all those years? It was the word of promise that God had given to him. This is my comfort in my affliction. Your word has given me life. It's given me hope. I really believe in it. That word that came to that young shepherd boy, David, one day you'll be king. And the oil was poured upon his head. What affliction he had to go through. Hated, hunted relentlessly by Saul, fearful of his life. Friends, even when he could have took Saul's life, he didn't. Because he knew what the scriptures had said, touch not my anointed. and the affliction and the things that David went, what was it that kept David all that time? It was the word that God had given him. And the day came when all the elders of Israel, just flick that up, Darren, that scripture in 2 Samuel 5. All the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron. They anointed David king over all Israel. God's word was wonderfully fulfilled. God is working out his eternal purpose in my life and yours. All things, I really believe this, are working together for good to those who love God. Peter, he signified by what death he would die when he was an old man. There's a story in Acts chapter 12 when James, the brother of John, had been killed by the sword. Herod had slain him. John's brother James, one of the disciples. And when Herod saw that it pleased the Jews that he'd killed James, he proceeded also to take Peter. And so he got hold of Peter and he put him in prison. And it says the next day, he was in prison for a while, but the next day was the day that he was going to die. And the word of God tells us in Acts 12 that Peter, that night, on the eve of his execution, was fast asleep between two soldiers. What caused him to be fast asleep? I don't know if the soldiers were asleep, but Peter was. Simply this, Jesus had given him a word. When you're old, this is how you're going to die. It's not going to be by a sword. In other words, you're going to die, Peter, but that's not the way you're going to die. You're going to die by the hands of the Romans. Crucifixion was there. Tradition and history tells us that Peter met his death in Rome. And he was crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified the same way as Jesus. As an old man, this is what's going to happen to you. Friends, what was the comfort in their affliction? His word brought them life, brought them hope. There will be a fulfillment of God's promise. God's word. And even though it might be a long time and some of you are sitting on a promise from God that may now have been for years, let me tell you, though it tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not tarry. What God has said will come to pass. Do not cast away your confidence in God's word. For it has great recompense of reward, that after that you have done the will of God. The will of God, you will receive the promise. Friends, the will of God for your life and mine is paramount. And sometimes the will of God isn't easy. It's difficult. It's hard. But after we have done the will of God, we will receive the promise. Abraham, he sees those twins born to Isaac and Rebekah, Esau and Jacob. And in his heart, he knows the future secure. Joseph becomes the premier of Egypt. And one day, he sees his brothers kneeling before him. A little later, he sees his father, the sun and the moon, kneeling before him. And sees the fulfillment of what God said, although it was many years come to pass. See, David, even though many years he was a refugee, many years he was hunted and relentlessly sought by Saul, See David when the crown is finally put upon his head by a united Israel, knowing that the fulfillment of God's word has come to pass. See Peter as an old man in Rome, in a dungeon, waiting his execution, knowing the time has come. That what Jesus said really did come to pass. I'll be carrying on this theme tonight, because God's given me a word for tonight too, along similar lines as this, about a royal official who believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him and went away, and his son lived simply because he believed what God said came to pass. It may be a long time coming, but I want to say, friends, wait for it. It will come. It will not tarry. All God's promises for you are yes and amen in Christ. The Bible says when hope is deferred, it makes the heart sick. When you don't always receive it straight away, that's the time when you need patience. James says tribulation works patience. It produces fruit in us. What promise has God given you that you are believing God for? What promises are you standing on and living your life on? Salvation of a loved one? Healing? Deliverance? A personal word that God's given you? Let me tell you, whatever it is, the day of fulfillment will come. What God has said will come to pass. Do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap if you do not lose heart. There are some folks in here this morning who need to revive the promises of what God said, because you've let them lay on the ground. And in that time of, in that season between promise and fulfillment, somewhere along the line, there's no more hope now. God wants to revive the hope again this morning. God wants to revive the promises that what He said will come to pass. I want to encourage you this morning, friends, to keep believing on what God has said, that heaven and earth will pass away, but His word will never pass away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, I pray that you'll revive some dreams here this morning. I pray, Lord, for those who have been disappointed and discouraged because they haven't had any answers. I pray in the name of Jesus that, oh God, you will help us to have hope in your word. In the time of our affliction, when we're going through it, help us to have hope, Lord, in your word. I pray that, Lord, comfort will come to your people. And that, Lord, every one of us will lay hold of the promises of God. Every one of them, Lord, are for us. They are yes and amen. And I pray, Lord, we will see with our eyes the fulfillment of what you have spoken. There will be a performance of the things that you have spoken to us about. We give you praise. You are a great God this morning. And you're our God. Hallelujah. You are our Savior. And we worship you this morning.